Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to another exciting edition of the East-West Wrestling Connection. I am Robert Seidelman. Welcome you back after about a 3-4 week layoff. And joining me, as always, on this here wrestling show is the hawk to my animal, Nikki Haymon.
Does that mean I'm dead? Oh, that's it. Still too soon to make that joke. I apologize.
No. It's 2003. That was 2003. This is 2007. I was thinking more of the 90 cents. Take that back. The 80 cents.
All right. I'll give you that. I will give you that.
The 88-89 NWA Road Warriors.
All right. No, in that case, that is an enormous compliment. I'm flattered.
Yeah, it could have been worse. Could have been a dynamic dudette.
Then I would have to reach through the phone and punch you.
Good point, well taken. Anyway, tonight we're going to be discussing the most recent Raw 50th anniversary show, the current TNA Confusion, and something special that we have cooked up for you, don't we, Nikki?
That we do. As I did last year, and I'll do again this year, I am setting up for the 2007 Nikki Awards. If you investigate my blog at myspace.com/LCNH, my most current blog will show you some of the fine recruits that I've added to my roster this year. As of, I believe, August or September, I've surpassed 200 individual recruits between the Big Two, Ring of Honor, Ohio Valley, and the independent scene. But I'm just focusing on this year's recruits.
And not only that, she's also focusing on re-signings and wrestlers that we could care less about.
Indeed, the ever-popular Why Did You Recruit Him award, which is a lot closer than a lot of people think. In fact, the current leader in that category, your teacher, Matt Stryker.
Hold on, Matt Stryker?
Virgil is second, but by only a vote.
People, please, vote for Virgil.
I would certainly encourage anyone to go to my blog and please take a look at it. The voting is open until December 16th. I'd like to see 3 or 4 more votes in there. We've got some very tight races. For my new recruit in WWE, the current top two are Jeff Hardy and Chris Jericho, tied at 4 votes apiece.
Wow.
Let's see. New recruit for TNA. The front runners are Sting and Jay Lethal.
I would like to see Jay Lethal win that one. He's already got a world title under his belt.
Pardon?
He's already got the X Division title under his belt.
Indeed.
Why doesn't he have another title? A Nikki Award.
Let's see, new recruits in OVW and the Independents. Colt Cabana has just run away with this, and he's more than welcome to. I think I've run into him just about every OVW show I've been to since August.
I have one problem with that. You want to know why?
Why?
You're forgetting his best gimmick. Matt Classic from WSX.
No, you're thinking of Matt Sydal.
No, Matt Classic was Colt Cabana.
Oh, I was unaware. I watched Wrestling's Silliest Explosions for all of one episode.
I bought somebody the DVD set for Christmas. Oh, crap, I hope he's not listening.
WWE re-signed CM Punk with the runaway vote on this one. The ECW champion has fared very well this year.
Yes, creative hasn't screwed him up yet.
I was proud to be at the show that he won the ECW title. Let's see.
Yes, that was the day that 11 people, that was the day of the big suspensions, I believe.
And we chanted, "You're suspended," as loud as we could at Mr. Morrison. re-signing TNA. The Motor City Machine Guns have run away with this. That might be partially because I have a lot of female voters. And I have this brilliant picture of them from Slammiversary with their shirts open. Oh. Wait a minute, that's not a criteria.
Can you send me a copy of that picture? I might want to spread it to a few friends.
You're welcome to take it off my blog page if you'd like.
Woohoo!
Let's see, re-signing OVW and the Independents. We have a very close race between Matt Sydal and Matt Matt and I, alias Superhero Rosie. Rosie received a tryout with OVW over the late summer, early fall. I don't know if he had actually been transferred down south. I know that Appa Jr. is down there.
Yes.
And
that'd be a good tag team right there.
They worked together as the Sons of Samoa at the show that I attended and actually ran into him.
Nice.
Let's see. The Diva Recruit of the Year, right now one vote separates up-and-comer Katie Lee and longtime WCW and WWE Diva Tori Wilson. Notice I don't say female wrestler in Tori's case. I know she's not a wrestler. But to me, she is one of the most beautiful divas that is in current wrestling.
I hold a big strike against her because she was part of the big collapse of the alliance of the WCW invasion. The big collapse took place right here in my hometown of Tacoma, Washington, at the Tacoma Dome, where half of that show was based on Vince McMahon pretty much fooling around with Tori Wilson.
Oh, you were the poor man who was sitting there live when Vince was caught with his pants down, quite literally.
Mm-hmm. Actually, my hometown. I was given tickets to the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't take it because they couldn't find a ride. Maybe it was a good thing.
Indeed.
An omen. But I missed out on a pretty decent Buff Bagwell Booker T match.
Mm-hmm. And the only match I believe Buff Bagwell had in WWE.
Yeah, well, he did a few house shows, but...
But they threw him out quite literally.
Yeah. They threw Booker T out quite literally, too, but he came back.
Yes. And then fairly recently, he walked right back out again, but justifiably so. Just a quick step into my final category, the Why Did You Recruit Him division. Matt Stryker, as I said, leads by one vote, followed directly by Virgil, and then a tie at the bottom by Ron the Truth Killings and Voodoo Kin Mafia.
And how many votes do each of them have?
Two
votes each. I can understand. I don't know why Ron Killings is down there, to be honest with you. Come on, he was pretty much... I sort of enjoyed Team Pac-Man.
But
they screwed up on one important thing. You know what they should have had playing as their theme music?
What's that?
A rap version to Pac-Man Fever.
Oh, good lord. Unfortunately, the whole Pac-Man Jones fiasco in the NFL is one of the reasons why I have been turned off to football in recent years. And then TNA decides to sign him and are told they can't do anything with them. So the deal should have ended right there. If you cannot do anything with something you're going to put a lot of money forward for, why?
Well, they could have done this. They could have just made him a manager.
But they
had Team Pac-Man and done the Run the Truth Killings and Consequences Creed to begin with.
But the mentality of the TNA creative wanted to try to sneak away into getting him to work or hope that NFL changed their minds over the 3 months that they had them. In the course of that 3 months, I refused to watch TNA television.
Good point. And ladies and gentlemen, that has been your NICU Awards update.
Voting ends December 16th.
Please vote, and vote for Virgil.
Vote early. Well, don't vote often. Try to keep it fair. But we have a lot of other things to discuss this evening.
Yes, we do. By the way, if you guys want to call in and have a question for either me or Nikki Hammond, the phone number is 616-716-9678. We also have a chat room open, which it's just me in there, and I get really lonely, so why don't you hop on board? But anyways, big night Monday.
An excellent, amazing, amazing evening, and it was a something for everyone show.
Yes, for the hardcore fans, for the casual fans, and then there's that third type of fan.
And that is?
The WrestleCrap fan.
Uh-oh. So I'm sure you have filled your WrestleCrap notebook with all those wonderful appearances of such high-impact superstars as Pete Gass, the Repo Man, the Goon, Knuckleball Schwartz.
I love the exchange. I hate to interrupt you, but I love the exchange by Abe Knuckleball Schwartz and Triple H. Triple H just walks up to him saying, "Who the hell are you?" Abe Knuckleball Schwartz. I guess the Brooklyn Baller was not hired tonight.
Oh, the fact that, if I may break kayfabe for a moment, that Mr. Brawler had double duty last night. Wasn't he? Did he draw a doink?
I don't know. Let me check. Very possibly. However, he looks skinny enough to not be him.
Mm.
Let me pull up Online World of Wrestling. That it could have been Steve Lombardi as Doink. However, I must say that. However, we should also mention in the first segment, just the first segment, we had Hornswoggle, Shane, and Stephanie.
Let's see. Mae Young, Sonny Molina. The
Sonny looked great.
Sonny looked amazing. And judging from all of the hell she has been through the last 6 or 7 years, and Mr. Candido, you know, I respect you, man, and I do miss you, that she has finally put herself back on track. She is one of a handful of cameos that I said, will you please give this person a contract?
I can think of 5 people that they need to give contracts to.
I think I want to hear your list. Let me see how many of these I agree with.
Well, Sonny's one of them.
I would have no problem with that.
Let's see here. I'm not sure if RVD has a valid contract left.
Actually, the info that I have on that was that was a one-shot deal. They put his bio on the alumni page of WWE.com. However, he was very happy to be back, according to a recorded interview posted on WWE.com. That just sounds like good news to me. We could see him back.
Yes. I also wouldn't mind seeing Flash Funk, who they dropped.
Were they going to let him be Too Cold Scorpio? Because it sounded like they wanted to put him on the ECW brand.
Yeah, but they pretty much played him off as Flash Funk, which I don't mind. It's a Russell Crabbe gimmick. It was fun, though.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't mind seeing Pete Gass as sort of like your jobber type.
He needs to get back in shape.
Well, Pete Gass was never in shape to begin with.
A little bit more in shape.
All right. Gangrel.
That's somebody they just can't seem to make up their minds with. I was hoping that they would have kept him just so they could keep Kevin Thorne the way he was and not this bad mangling of Cannonball Callahan and Sean O'Hare.
Yes, Sean O'Hare. I sort of wish he didn't retire. And the person who definitely deserves a contract, the person who looked the best out of everybody on the show, but the person who looked genuine.
All right.
The Goon. No, kidding. Not the Goon. Lethal Weapon Steve Blackman.
I absolutely 100% agree with you. He looked amazing. And the only thing that was missing from that is that during the Battle Royale, he was in the same ring with Al Snow, and there was not a single word about head cheese made.
Not even by the crowd, not even by JR and King. I'm sure we had a couple of Russell Crappers out there who probably said, "Head cheese, head cheese," but they probably weren't even picked up on the microphone.
You had to yell a little bit louder than that, young man.
Okay, head cheese! Head cheese!
Not at me.
Sorry about that. And how come I'm not surprised that on this show we were treated to Hulk Hogan?
If it wasn't for America, go ahead.
Who only made, out of when he was on Raw originally, back going 1993, only made about 3 or 4 appearances.
But you can't exclude his feuding work with the NWO, his epic work with The Rock.
WrestleMania 18, that match made that WrestleMania.
And granted, after that, everything else he did, I think that was all when he was doing, when he was on SmackDown, tagging with Edge, the whole Mr. America fiasco.
Oh, that got inducted.
I know it was wrestle crap. I just want a still of him pulling the mask up and going, shh.
No. I mean it. He recently got inducted into wrestle crap.
Not surprised in the least. But if it wasn't for American Gladiators, I don't think we would have seen Hogan.
Or the fact that Hogan and Linda are divorced. And that Hogan could be losing a ton of cash.
And Hogan may have a son in jail.
And he might be in jail himself, too.
That's true. 80, conspiracy thereof. I don't know
right.
the exact charges, but apparently he was there.
I've seen some... Sorry to get a little off topic, though, but I have seen commercials for the new American Gladiators. It looks pretty good. They have this new event called Hit and Run, which was done on the UK show.
Mm-hmm.
Which is all four gladiators. They're throwing huge medicine balls at you.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to run across a bridge, and if you hit a bridge, you get 2 points, or maybe a point. Who knows? Who knows how they're scoring the new gladiators? To be like, whose line? The points pretty much don't matter. And they should.
Mm-hmm.
Run back and forth, 30 seconds is the time limit. Each place you go through is worth 1 or 2 points. If you get knocked down, you still get the points. But if you survive the 30 minutes, well, congratulations. And all this took place between Kali Hornswoggle 2, the rematch that we've been waiting. What time is it?
We're 17 minutes in.
Right. It really didn't mean much.
And to show just how little Hogan was interested in being there, he did not even finish his moves of doom.
Mm-mm.
Then again, I know he can't
kick.
Well, yeah, because I was going to say with the big boot, I know he can't kick that high.
Mm-hmm.
RVD, on the other hand, I would pay RVD $500 to do a split kick and hit Kali in the jaw.
Right.
Stiff. But I will say this, Rob was an enormous surprise. Nobody that I know knew he was going to be there. I did not know he was going to be there. When his music started, I said, don't tease me like that. They focused on the entrance, and I said, stop it, just turn off the music so I can listen to Santino laugh.
And out he comes.
Then Meister walks out, I promptly fall off the couch.
You know who else was on that show, despite all the legends? Actually, here's a really interesting piece of news.
All right.
Well, Harry Smith's now off of his suspension, thank God.
Mm-hmm.
And now he faced in a dark match the king of old school, Steve Corino.
Now that I wish they had put that on television. I think I'd rather seen that instead of the Cowboys and Cody and Holly.
That was a title match, so never mind.
This was a bad night for a title switch.
Really bad night. It got overshadowed. They should have had that match at Armageddon.
To be honest, I think if they really wanted to get Dusty Rhodes on the air, they should have had Dusty come out with. Let me think here. I think they should have let DiBiase come back out, and they should have let Anvil come back out, and let them all present this new generation of Cody Rhodes, Natty Neidhart, and
Ted DiBiase Jr.
And Ted Jr. And then Randy Orton come out and try to RKO them all, and Jericho chases them off, and leaving the momentum meter at neutral, and not seeing Chris Jericho putting Randy Orton in the walls. I'm worried.
That was bad.
I'm very, very, very worried.
By the way, do you remember last week on Raw, they had Kennedy had all these fake appearances by, who did we have? We had Jannetty, we had Hall, we had Nash.
And we had Shawn Michaels.
Oh, we had a fake Shawn Michaels, too. Well, tonight, guess who they had?
They found the real Marty Jannetty and found some way around his parole.
Yay!
That's my understanding. That is chance number 9 for Mr. Jannetty. Maybe you'll get it right.
Hold on. We have a count, and it's chance number in any organization, 2,143. Hey, take that back, 2,144.
Counting
last
night.
He's doing a dark match now for ICW, ICWA, for he is taking on Larry Sweeney Jr.
All right.
That was supposed to be a joke.
It wouldn't surprise me. It only takes a couple $100 to get Marty's attention.
Yes. Here's another name. Bastion Booger.
We have discovered that he has an illegitimate son of his own, and his name is Big Dick Johnson.
You know what's odd?
What?
Bastion Booger actually grew hair.
And that harness still does nothing for him.
No, he lost the hump. Mike Shaw has dropped, had to drop at least 100 pounds ever since 1994.
Right.
Let's see, what else do we got here? We had an Evolution reunion.
That was fun.
And they, who did they go up against?
Rated RKO.
Yeah.
And Umaga. Now, I honestly did not have a problem with this because I knew there would be enormous friction with Randy Orton not wanting to go back to Evolution since everybody else in Evolution is face at the moment. This is a lot better scenario than what I came up with, was essentially Randy Orton coming to the ring, expecting to be welcomed by his Evolution mates, and then Hunter and Batista just beating the holy hell out of him. And as they're finishing up, Batista stands up, looks at Hunter, and realizes that Hunter screwed him too. Dave, smash Hunter! And
no.
Flair's just sitting in the corner just laughing his ass off. He says, good times, just like old times.
You forgot the third piece of the puzzle.
What's that?
Flair! After the pedigree, Flair puts him in the figure four. Batista and Hunter going to each other's corners, laughing their asses off. That's what should have happened.
That's true. It should have ended with Flair with Hunter in the figure four. I would have enjoyed that.
And then Triple H, hey, Orton. I guess the Legend's doing the killing now. How about that?
I'd be quite pleased with that. But what they did wasn't bad. I was very happy to see that.
It was a good match.
And Hunter was just having way too much fun with his T-shirt closet. Notice that he opened the show with the bloodstained ruler T-shirt, which is just amazing. And yes, I would pay $30 for it. He wore one of his Evolution shirts to the ring.
I'm glad that they had the Evolution music.
I was surprised they didn't come walking out to it, but I understand that was integral to the way this whole thing was going to shake out. Hunter came out after the Marty Jannetty Kennedy match wearing a DX shirt and was even nice enough to bring one for Sean.
He should have brought one to Marty. You want to know why?
Why?
Because the shirt you probably had on is probably dirty from the hole that he slept in last night.
Tisk. No, I was thinking what they would do is they would give him a T-shirt and Sean and Hunter would sign it so that Marty could go sell it for $300 and save somebody the problem of him possibly not showing.
Right. And then we had the return of Molly Holly.
however brief.
Yes.
But it was good to see her. Every time I've run into her since she's left, she's always looked to be in very good shape. She's always in good spirits. You know,
she's
we do miss you terribly. We still miss you terribly, Molly. We do.
Yes, we need a wrestler. We need a diva that could actually wrestle.
And if you won't
only
come
got
back,
three.
Will you, yeah. If you won't come back, will you please talk to Trish or Lita?
I was getting to that.
I'm sorry, my segue
since
is
you blew
better
it,
than
I'll
yours.
Just do it anyways.
My segue is better than your segue.
And that's why I have you as a co-host. Jillian Hall came to the ring. Hyped her Christmas album, and let's face it, Jillian Hall sings worse than William Hung and me in the shower.
You were wearing the shower with William Hung?
No.
Are there pictures?
No.
Quick,
by the way, if there's
going to
be an American Idol person I'd be caught in the shower with, it'd be Ryan Sequest. Now. And I'd be probably enjoy it, too. But anyways.
All right, so
Jillian Hall came out and plugged her album on iTunes, which got released right now, $4.95, four or five wonderfully awful songs.
I want her duet with Daivari. Anyway.
That'd be great.
I was there. That was a good, that was quite good. I've never heard Grease in Farsi.
Yes. Trish Stratus came out, interrupted her Christmas song. Apologized as she decided to be back on Raw and said Jillian Hall's singing was really bad. Hall blasted her, started to sing again, and Lita shows up.
Yay.
Notice Trish told Jillian's voice is really bad, too. Jillian Hall then said nobody wants to see two has-beens in the ring, but then again, you're seeing that as the main... Then again, we saw that almost every week on WCW.
I wasn't
start singing until... Yeah?
Go on.
They started beating up Lita, Jillian Hall together, and you could... They had the microphone on, which was great. You heard, ow, ow!
And even then, she couldn't quite reach half-perfect pitch.
Right. She botches saying the word, ow. And then, in the ring, Lita and Trish hug. That was then I had pulled up the temperature for hell, and it finally reached triple digits for the first time since Bush got reelected.
Now, at least there are a couple people down there that were a little more comfortable. I'm going to be nice. I was going to make a joke that I probably would have been thrown off the air for.
Go ahead. Make the joke.
All right. At least now Benoit can put a shirt on.
Okay.
Crickets. Yep, crickets. All right, moving on.
That's a WrestleCraft Radio thing, and I don't want to steal from my friend Blade.
All right.
Then we retreated to a delightfully awkward segment between Lita and Kane.
We needed that. If Hunter's going to be mean enough to bring up Katie Vick at Survivor Series, we were going to have to hear a little bit about the Black Wedding.
Yes. Lita was shown watching the ending of video page, but can't awkwardly approach her to have conversation. And it was some awkward conversation. And guess who decided to show up?
I wanted Snitsky, but we got Simmons. That's fine.
Snitsky would, he's in psycho mode now, so we don't want to go messing with him.
Oh, why not? He was just a psycho about kicking a baby 20 rows into the cheap seats.
Yeah, but that was a different Snitsky. That one actually had facial hair and hair on the top of his head. This is the new Snitsky that we're talking about right now. The psycho crazy Snitsky with yellow greeny teeth.
The one that looks like Kane's twisted cousin. He should have just snarled at Lita and said that I would have done it again.
Right. And then Ron Simmons comes out and says his favorite four-letter word. Beer! No.
Beer.
That's JBL's favorite four-letter word.
among others. The rest of them he can't say on television,
right,
because he'd like to.
Damn!
So, yes, Lita and Shane received the Damn Award of the night.
And then we get to the main event. Which was Mr. Kennedy, and I think the first time Mari Jannetty actually main evented a show.
Was that our last? Was that the last match of the night? Yes, it was.
That was the last match of the night. Segment number 26. Actually, 25 by official count. If you're not, if you don't include the dark match and the heat taping.
But to his credit, he really has not lost that much in the ring.
No, he's wrestling for food now. He's got to keep in shape.
Oh, I know, but I'm recalling, has it been over a year since the Rockers reunion?
Yeah.
I just recall that night when Marty and Sean went out there and worked together. Marty was only a half a step behind Sean. And that just thoroughly impressed me. I'm glad that Marty's still doing so well. He just needs to figure out how to keep his nose clean and empty.
True. And then we get to the final thing, and we all knew that Vince would joyously proclaim himself the greatest superstar in the history of Raw, which is wrong. You know who it should have gone to, in my opinion?
The Rock.
No.
Hmm.
The originators of Raw. A tie. Gorilla Monsoon and Bobby Brahim, the host of the original Raw, a.k.a. Primetime Wrestling.
Hmm.
But I would accept the crowd booed Iron Press until Mick Foley hit the ring and gave Mr. McMahon the Socko Claw.
Which was creepy as all get out, only because Mick didn't pick up the microphone. There was actually talk on one of the boards if that was really Mick Foley. It was. But Mick usually says something. Did that cost extra, Vince?
Probably.
Mm-hmm.
But what it mattered if you didn't whore his book.
Maybe that was the problem. Excuse me, he didn't have a book to whore.
Right. Then he has no business there. Anyway. Then The Undertaker shows up and gives Mr. McMahon a very weak choke slam.
Most of that was Vince's fault if you watch the replay.
Yeah, he didn't fall through with it. But that's because he Stone Cold Steve Austin came back to the ring.
Here we go.
Proposed to Toast McMahon, gave him a stunner.
Blah, blah, blah.
Then proclaimed that the greatest superstars of Raw in a very forced manner was the WWE fans all over the world.
Which
was That's an ending that you would see in most video games and movies. I take that back. Video games only.
No, if they were going to do it in a movie, they'd do it after the credits.
Right. Then Stone Cold Steve Austin invited 15 years of Raw superstars to the ring for an old-fashioned beer bash.
To which William Regal had a Coke, CM Punk. Some people said he had a beer. It was probably a Pepsi. And somebody else just had water.
Punk had Pepsi. I think Regal had tea.
No, actually, he had a Coke. There is a shot of him toasting one of the cameras.
Uh-huh. And you know who I think had the water?
Who?
Hold on. I think it must have been Abe Knuckleball Schwartz.
Might have been, because since Hunter was not alone in the ring, he wasn't allowed to do the Aquafina spray of deistic might.
Right. By the way, I have to say that one of the worst Rob moments was put in the show, and it shouldn't have been.
And that was?
Sammy.
Oh, Mark Henry's date?
The transsexual, yeah. No, drag queen. It was drag queen.
Yeah.
Bad. Oh, forgot about Mae Young giving birth to the hand.
Well, that was going to come up. Although that was in one of a handful of anniversary vignettes, which I thought were all very well done.
Yes. Especially a classic one where one of the few ones in 93, 94, 95, Doink throwing water on Bobby Heenan.
Mm-hmm. They did a very good job with some of their editing. Now, we did see a few faces that aren't with the company anymore. For example, in one instance when they were talking about, I believe it was in the Divas video where they showed Bubba putting Mae Young through a couple of tables.
Well, they could still talk about the Dudley Boys, per se, because they were pretty impactful on Raw.
And they still own the name.
Yeah. Yeah.
They put in a little bit from 2000 about kazoos.
No, they had the kazoo part in there, which I loved.
Right, and Christian was in there. They did a couple of things with Angle. Now, if Angle was still with the company, we would have seen the little cowboy hat. You know you would have seen the little cowboy hat. Or Angle singing Jimmy Crack Corn.
Well, they had the badges line in there.
Yes, they did. I do remember that. If Booker had still been with the company, we would have seen some of the movie review vignettes. We did get the lumberjack.
That was instant right there.
That was a good one, but the one that I would have wanted was Only in America when Goldust gave Booker a Don King wig.
Yes. That was class right there.
Goldie, my brother. Only in America.
Did they become tag team champions?
I don't think they... Yes, they did. Yes, they did. Sadly, this is why I remember that. There was a Christmas Raw where Goldust showed up with a Santa hat on. And he was bugging Booker, and he opened up the bag and he handed him his tag belt. Christian happens by and wants to challenge them. And Goldust is like, oh, no, you know, we're not up for a tag team challenge. And, oh, by the way, we wouldn't do it anyway because you were a naughty boy this year. And hands him a tub of ass cream. Now
yeah.
With 35% more ass.
All right, now, we had fun with WWE in the 15th anniversary show. I should have taped that.
I did.
Cool. I'll probably find all the clips on YouTube eventually. Anyway, now we talked stuff that was easy to follow, easy to get to know, and to some mass confusion from our favorite company in the world, TNA.
I will comment before we begin. Lance Storm has been lambasting TNA a lot lately.
And I think he's got it right.
He actually published it. He put out a clarification recently. I skimmed through it. And one of the major points that he made is that TNA is still not going to be a successful company. Apparently, they're still not making any money.
No, and I think I know what the problem is. That it's a big problem.
Yeah, Vince Russo and Dutch Mantel.
If they get rid of Dutch, they'd be okay. Russo is still being limited to certain storylines, which is good. You limit him, he'll become good.
Yes, you need somebody. You need somebody to look over his shoulder, so that when he starts getting weird, you can go no bad, slap him on the knuckles, and send him back to his desk.
Right. Here, I'm sorry to be spoiling anything, but as you know, just recently they had the Feast or Fired dealie.
Yes, the four briefcases, which. I already knew a perfect solution for that, and they still couldn't think of it.
Right. Well, here's the thing. PD is now doing the whole maple leaf muscle thing.
Which actually I kind of like. He looks quite good that cut.
Yes. Senshi, for some odd reason, is still with the company.
And it was my understanding he was the one who accepted the offer to leave.
Yes, so he did accept the offer to leave. I think he's just finishing out the dates, and he's out of there. Christopher Daniels is gone, too. And that leaves Ian Skipper, and I think they'll get rid of him again.
And... no, I better not. I don't have the exact information. There is a possibility of someone else leaving. At this juncture, I am not allowed to say anything.
Okay. If there's one thing that's even more confusing to me, that would be Dustin Rhodes' double personality.
You're having trouble seeing him keeping them separate, or just the way it's being written?
Both. Especially since he's entering this pseudo-feud with Kazarian.
Mm-hmm.
Dustin Rhodes came in and asked, why did you attack me backstage last week? He was doing the whole, just was looking for the job, gets attacked by Kaz. Kaz comes out, they argue, and end up brawling in the crowd, showing a little black rain. And, oddly enough, Black Rain does fight later on in the show.
And doesn't even seem fazed by what has happened previously.
Nope.
Okay, that doesn't make sense, because if he does want... I'm no psychologist, but if you're going to play a split personality on this level of quote-unquote theater, you need to go all the way. One does not acknowledge the other.
Yes, and then they hype this pole match, a double pole match.
Which is odd in itself.
Yes, for Final Resolution, it's Tables or Ultimate X, Motor City and Jay Lethal fight Team 3D, and I'm going to call him Johnny D.
Okay.
Brother Johnny. Brother Divine.
Yes, there you go. Brother Divine, the X Division traitor.
Yes.
Oh. An honorary Dudley. I want him to start wearing Dudley shirts. And get him the glasses.
And we have him dressed as an elf.
If any worse than AJ dressed as a reindeer.
And that happened because Kaz beats AJ in a reindeer suit ladder match.
To be honest, I think they made the mistake of letting AJ go into the creative meetings. He says, "I get to wear a what? Cool, sure." Given his character right now.
Yes, and as it turns out, Matt Morgan's running the show for the 12/20 edition.
I figured he would have gotten fired after all of everything that went down with the confusion with the briefcases.
No, he gets lambasted for that later. Anyways, now let's talk to the ones that's given me the most headaches.
Alright.
This is 12/27. We have the three major belts all squared away for title matches. Scott Steiner against Jay Lethal.
Excuse me.
If Scott Steiner can pull off the Frankensteiner off the top rope again and do it well.
He pulled off
a
very good one.
Okay, here's the
X-Division
title. Run with it. Give it some credibility.
He pulled one off at Lockdown this year. I think he can do it again.
Yeah, he's only got about two or three of those in 1 year. He's only used up one.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. Petey Williams, who's already got a world title shot, now is number one contender for the X Division title.
Nice to know he's busy.
You know what this could mean?
Two belts.
A major push for Petey Williams. That won't happen.
Who knew?
Exactly. Yes, who knew? Petey Williams finally getting his just due. Oh, and they finally tied up that loose end with Kaz and Black Rain.
Okay.
Because Relic screwed up.
Well, the character is pretty screwed up, but that's just me.
The original name was supposed to be Red Rum. And I loved it from The Shining. Red Rum! Red Rum!
Was there a legal issue?
I think so.
I don't mind the new name, Relic. I just miss my... I miss the lovable Mama Luke that I knew.
Yes, Johnny the Bull.
Johnny the Bull, who always stood behind Vito, munching on a cheese sandwich, waiting for his opportunity to pick up Disco Inferno and stuff him in a locker.
Right.
That's the Johnny that's the Stamboli I miss.
Yes, from 2000 WCW, after Russo.
Now, mind you, he didn't do. He tried when they put him with when it was him and Palumbo and Nunzio.
Yeah.
With the reinvention of the FBI.
Yeah, they tried, but it didn't go anywhere.
No, and then Vito put a dress on, which probably drove Nunzio to insanity, thus limiting his appearances on ECW. Gamboli did get a tryout a couple of months ago with WWE. And apparently that didn't go anywhere. Let me think. And somewhere I wrote up a plot where an FBI would have been formed with Nunzio and Claudio Castagnoli.
That wouldn't work. You want to know why?
Why?
Because Castagnoli's from Switzerland.
I think that would make it even more fun.
Yeah, it'd be like the original FBI. You had a guy from Philly. You had guys from Kansas and Tracy Smothers. You had Wildfire Tommy Rich, who's from Georgia. Yeah, they go down to Tootsie's Bar Grill in Alabama to recruit more members for FBI. Ugh.
Well, okay, if Castagnoli's from Switzerland, that means he understands he would know how to move the money.
Hey! Well, they call him the Swiss money-making man.
There you go. Then you try to, you know, we actually do a three-brand mess. Let's see. Wasn't it Simmons that was part of the big betting pool when Mark Henry was actually a face during his early part of the World's Strongest Man days and his feud with Test?
2003, you're thinking?
2002, 2003-ish,
yeah. Yeah, that was around the time,
it had to be before 2003 because it was long before Steiner showed up.
I want to say yes. I want to say yes, but I honestly don't know.
Okay. Because I remember, I believe it was Simmons. It wouldn't surprise me. This sounds like the APA's shtick anyway. Trying to make some extra money by setting up betting pools to see what Mark Henry could lift or fold or throw or bend or whatever. And Test would always challenge it, but would always lose.
Right. And so, also, something else from here, we need to get going. We don't have that much time left. However, we can go over. And if we do go over, you can listen to our stuff in the archives, which is always fun. We have here the breaking up of two groups, the Christian Coalition and the Angle Alliance. Here's why. Chris calls out Tom Cohen and Styles and say they have to choose between he and Angle. Kurt comes out and gets in a brawl with Christian. Tom Cohen just leaves, go figure, and AJ tries to break it up. Christian hits Styles, but he thinks it was on purpose when technically it was on accident. Following me here?
You've kind of lost me. I can understand why Tom Cohen left, but I don't understand why AJ would not accept Christian's explanation of a hit by accident because AJ is Christian's puppy dog.
Right. Tom Cole comes to the ring and says he's made his choice. He is no longer with Christian or Angle.
Smart man.
Yes. But later on that night, Cage gets the revenge and wins the 10-man gauntlet to become number one contender for the TNA World title. adding even more confusion.
But Petey Williams.
Yeah, he's got a title shot.
So are we having a triple threat at the next pay-per-view?
That means Petey Williams pulls double duty. Probably not. Anyway, and guess who Christian Cage pins?
Samoa Joe.
He pins Joe. And before that, Jim Cornette has a promo in the ring. Joe interrupts, says, why does he have a match at the pay-per-view? Nash comes out, says that he does. It's Nash and Joe taking on Styles and Tomko for the tag titles.
A timeout. No. That's not possible. Nash and Joe should be at each other's throats right now, in and out of character.
Don't worry. I think this will set up for a Kevin Nash-Joe feud soon. If not, Joe versus TNA manager, who should have a great match. I'm thinking by Destination X, Joe versus Matt Morgan.
I'll take that, but I just I'm seeing where Lance Storm's coming from the just the gross illogic.
It gets worse.
Oh, good Lord.
Let's go to 1-3. First impact of 2008. Robert Roode and Booker T in the first shot ends in a no contest because Kurt and Karen Angle get involved in the match.
What?
Booker T Go on.
I'm not even going to try to figure that one out.
Booker T challenged Kurt and any partner of his choice to take on himself and a mystery partner later on in the show. He accepts. We'll talk about that later. And then to become women's champ, number one contender, Gauntlet Battle Royal for the Knockouts. Who do you think would be the number one contender right now?
Austin Kong.
Nope. ODB.
What did they do to Kong? Shoot her?
No, I don't think she... I think she was... I'm trying to think. Either she was in the match and got eliminated earlier, or she's in Japan. Or she's working for Shimmer.
I was going to say they were going to have to tranquilize her or flat out kill her.
Or it'd be a five-person overthrow of the top rope, and we get to see more con cleavage.
Don't go there. I've heard the horror stories.
I want any more. ODB pinned Roxy Laveau, who should. If it wasn't Kong, I'd rather have it be Roxy or Nikki Rocks. Roxy Laveau. Pinned her to win.
Okay.
Besides, she's the only member of VKM who currently is any good.
I'm surprised that VKM even still has jobs right now.
Let alone a tag team title shot. Actually,
yeah.
Technically, it's not VKM. BG James has the title shot. He doesn't necessarily have to pick Kip.
But he probably is because they've already forgotten about the argument they had in the parking lot.
You know who it could be?
Who?
The glorious return of Brad Armstrong.
As long I was worried you were going to say Sean Waltman.
No. He already blew his chance with TNA a couple times over. They probably won't hire him back.
And, of course, there's 100 question marks around Sabu.
Yeah, that'd be an odd pairing, BG and Sabu. I got it.
Okay.
BG James, Ron the Truth Killings, you keep Kip, the return of the Three Live Crew.
The sound you heard is my hand slapping my forehead in utter disbelief.
You forgot about Three Live Crew, didn't you?
I did.
Oh.
And I wish they'd forgotten.
And good news!
You
First City Machine Guns won a gauntlet to become number one contenders for the tag titles.
Huh?
Saban and Shelley are number one contenders for the tag titles.
Yes. Then again, I'm exceptionally biased and could watch the Motor City Machine Guns twice a week and never get tired of them.
Doing what twice a week is the question.
wrestling one show and goofing the next.
Okay, that works. And then our lovable Team 3D attacks them, but Jay Lethal comes in and saves the day. Ooh, yeah!
And, oh, by the way, Lethal, Hogan wasn't talking about you in the little shout-out.
Huh?
You didn't catch the Macho Man shout-out that Hogan
Oh, yeah, I caught the Macho Man shout-out. I just blanked on that one. I apologize.
No, that's fine. Continue.
And then... And one of my... Probably my least favorite TNA gimmick, Black Rain.
Just because it's creepy.
Yeah. Defeats Abyss. Now, okay. I'm getting tired of this storyline. Abyss versus Mitchell's Misfits. You got Judas Messiah, who run into this no DQ match and help Black Rain win. Go figure. You have Relic. You have Black Rain. You have Father James Mitchell. It's 4-1. Now I'm just praying for Sabu to come in and clean house.
That would be nice.
Will it happen?
What will happen?
Will it happen? Probably not.
No, but I just got this wonderful image of Abyss walking in with Sabu on his shoulder.
Sabu's got to be covered in barbed wire.
Yeah, and Sabu's got a barbed wire scimitar, wrapped scimitar in his hands. And Abyss just picks him up and throws him at Mitchell's misfit. And while they're too busy, while they're trying to kill Sabu, Abyss gets Mitchell all to himself.
Hooray. Takes a lot to put down Sabu.
That's why I don't mind him having 3-1. It's hardly fair odds, so Sabu will fight with one hand tied behind his back.
And probably still win.
He'll break a couple of bones in the process. Maybe one of them will be his own.
Right. And then we get to the main event. It's Booker T and Mystery Partner versus Kurt Angle and Robert Roode. And guess who Booker T's partner is?
Kurt Angle.
No. However, that would bring a whole definition to the line, gutter slut.
She's a crack whore. Anyway.
Christian Cage is the Mystery Partner. Yes, Vince Russo is working overtime this week, folks.
No, now
I'm getting sick of it. Somebody needs to drag Vince Russo and Dutch Mantel to a lot, tar and feather them, and get them out of TNA.
Thank you.
Now I've had it with Russo there. One of the biggest Russo supporters there is, and I'm just saying, give up on Russo.
And I once again apologize to the masses for not taking my opportunity at Lockdown.
Well, Vince say he was also in the audience. They're like, he was like, oh my god, what have I done? What did I even get hired on? And he's celebrating his 2-year anniversary with the company. Anyways, Christian calls out AJ Styles after the match to make his choice. Guess what? Guess who he chooses?
AJ goes with Angle.
No. He goes with Tomko.
Actually, that is kind of smart, but I would want a promo of Tomko talking to AJ and tell him to grow up or straighten up or whatever.
I think you'll probably get that because I don't think they didn't list the promos beforehand. And we're running out of time.
Indeed we are.
We have more to talk about in the archive show. I think we're going to talk some more TNA, some Ring of Honor, and what me and Nikki are going to do for the Christmas season. I take it you do celebrate Christmas, do you?
Of course I do. Now you got to understand that, you know, yes, from a Jewish family, that it comes from this. And if I've got time to rattle this off.
You got 16 seconds.
Okay. If you drive a Ford, it's Yom Kippur. If you drive a Cadillac, it's Yom Kippur. If you drive a Hummer, it's Christmas. Good night, folks.
Ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas, everybody. And now we're in the archive.
That last statement was courtesy of, oh, and his name just flew out of my head. Oh,
Al Snow.
No. It's a Jewish comedian. And I'll think of his name.
Yeah. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Archive Show. We're going to talk a little more wrestling here and what we're going to do for Christmas. Let's get Christmas out of the way first, then we'll talk about wrestling. What do you plan on doing for Christmas?
Well, December 21st, I'll be on a plane to Florida to see my family. I'm going down to visit my parents and my older sister and her family.
Uh-huh.
My boyfriend has requested that I drop by to where his parents, who are snowbirds, are vacationing, which is down near Boynton Beach.
Neato.
I'll be set down there till the 26th. I'll be flying up that day and back to the grind on the 27th, where I've been told I'll be soloing till after the first of the year. Joy.
Yes, an early Christmas present from your bosses.
No, just a Christmas present from my coworker.
Oh.
To get me back for all the bitching and moaning and complaining I've been doing since September. And you, young man, you're going to be doing quite a bit of packing for Christmas.
After Christmas, right. I think around early January if this apartment thing goes through.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on, I gotta say one thing. Garrett, go to bed.
I just need to write something down for Mom.
Don't worry, I'll tell her to sign this, and...
No, that's already signed. But, I just need to tell her that, I put some of the rice and some of the stir-fry in the thing for...
Right, for lunch tomorrow, okay. Get out of here and go to bed. That's my brother, Garrett. Redhead, and,
Beep.
Huh?
Just making sure you're still there.
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, I heard a really weird beep.
Could have been from the phone, but I didn't hear it.
Alright.
Or it could have been my brother speaking, who's got the intelligence of Beaker.
I wasn't going to say it.
Anyway, let's see what we got here. If this move goes through, I'll be moving to Longview in around early mid-January, where I live my life the way I see fit. And not in a closet, per se.
It'll be much better for you.
Yes. You received my gift, right?
I have. Would you like me to open it?
Huh?
It's still wrapped. Would you like me to unwrap it? I'll go get it.
You wanna open it?
Sure.
You can open. Let's open it on the radio show. It's probably the last time we do this radio show before the year.
Exactly. So, ladies and gentlemen, I have just given this show some more content. You'll have to give me a moment while I cross through the house.
Watch out for the Sailor Moon tapes.
No. I don't have any Sailor Moon tapes in here. Dragon Ball, maybe.
Gaioken! Time's done!
Gah! And for the record, none of them are dubbed. All right, one moment. Here it is.
With a card attached to it.
Yep, I'll open that first. But let me get back to in front of the computer and not trip over any cats on the floor.
Meow!
Because both of them are giving me a dirty look for wandering around the house. It is 60 degrees here. What
it's
the
only
hell?
30 here.
My window's open. What the hell? Okay. First the card. to Nikki from Sigma.
My nickname.
Sorry, I probably shouldn't have used that nickname. The card, a lonely Christmas bear with a Santa stocking and a Charlie Brown Christmas tree. wishing you joy in big ways and small ways. Now read this, the rest of this out loud. Wishing you the best at Christmas and always. Thank you very much, sir.
You're welcome.
And
now you get to open the gift.
All right. I lack the technology for a drum roll, so. And within 3 to 4 layers of wrapping paper.
Sorry, I suck at wrapping.
No, you're better at it than I am. I see a barcode. I see a price tag. Oops.
Damn!
You should have waited for $5 sale day. And within this is the TNA 5th Slammiversary and a TNA pay-per-view that I attended that I do not have.
And now you do. In
now,
DVD form!
Yes, I do. I very, very much appreciate this. Do you have a copy of this by any chance?
No, I don't particularly buy a whole bunch of wrestling DVDs since I have no line of work.
Okay, the reason I was asking, and I will appeal to anybody to look at the archive, if they have this DVD in their hot little hands, I will watch this at some point. If there is anywhere in the extras, and I'm going to tell this story. At the Fan Fest, my friend Brandon and I ran into one of the cameramen, the bald gentleman, Bill Barron, I believe is his name.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He was out there doing, shooting footage for the Slammiversary Fan Festival. And we talked him into letting us cut a promo. And we did a short little 2 or 3 minute thing talking about the history. And it ended with me rolling up the paperwork that I had and saying, let's start on the next 5 years. And I started beating the snot out of him with a rolled up piece of paper. And he sold it.
Lovely.
I don't know if it made it to the DVD, though. I don't think it did. I hope it did. I would laugh very hard.
By the way, I bought that DVD on Black Friday.
And you lived.
I worked it. And I lost my job.
It may have affected your finances, but in the long run, it may have saved your life.
Yes. That's because the manager hates Best Buy with a passion, and I openly admitted to him that I shop there.
And that's what you got fired over?
No, there's some other stuff that I got fired over.
Okay.
Especially me crumbling at Black Friday.
Having worked a couple of Black Fridays myself, and especially even in the retail business, I do not envy any person in the retail industry at that time of year. Let's see.
Hey, you know what I was told by somebody else who works at a Radio Shack in a mall? If you would have worked at a standalone store, which is what I originally applied for,
uh-huh,
I think I probably would still be working. But since I was in a mall with a whole bunch of people, I crumbled.
The facility in particular that I worked for was a little mom-and-pop buy-sell trade shop in a strip mall. But we were just outside of a major mall. So we got all the people who didn't want to fight the malls.
And I bet there was a lot of people.
That was a pretty good share of people. And we also got a small handful of parents who thought we were a babysitting service.
Oop.
And would leave their children in our store. To the point where we had to turn off and unplug every last one of our displays.
Just to
let them know that we're not an arcade.
I see.
Because in a way, you could actually you could stay in that store all day and play video games. Lord knows the employees did it.
Especially on the slow days.
Yep.
I must ask you, what was the one game at that mom and pop store that you played the most? The one video game that you played the most?
Wow. There's a three-way tie in that. Because my manager and I used to play a Tetris variant called Bombless. That was one that killed a lot of our time because it was everything I had to beat him. It's essentially Tetris with bombs. Every so often you'd get a Tetris piece with a bomb in it.
Oh, cool.
If you completed a line with the bomb, it would blow up a section of what you had left of your puzzle. If you put the bombs together in a cube, you'd get a super bomb that would erase 5 lines.
Oh, that's handy.
More than that. That's quite handy, and it does a whole lot of damage back to the other person. That was one of the games I spent a lot of time with. Another one the entire store got tied up with was Treasure Games' initial offering for the Sega Genesis, Gunstar Heroes.
Yes!
Bar none, the best action platform game ever made for the Sega Genesis.
The only one that was any good and had good sound effects and were repeated throughout a bunch of several games.
Granted, it stole lovingly from Contra, from Mega Man, and from one or two other sources, including just about every shooter made by Taito at the time, with the use of powering up and combining weapons. I thought it was an amazing game. I'm not real big on platform action games, but this one was just beautiful. I have the soundtrack to this game. A very rare CD.
And what was the third game?
The third game was the Dragon Ball Daibutakai, or Daibutakan, I forget the actual name of it.
Dragon Ball Z Budokai.
No, this, mind you, this was 1993.
That must have been a rare game, and probably for the Super NES.
Well, yeah, this was a Super NES Dragon Ball Z Fighter game that was never released in the States. Because Dragon Ball didn't mean anything in the States until 1997.
Yeah, with Toonami.
Thanks to Toonami, and unfortunately because of Funimation just utterly destroying the series, but that's my personal bias. The Budokai Budokan series that was released for the Super Nintendo, they made two or three games. The casts were fairly limited. You'd get about a dozen characters. Nothing like the Budokai series where you can play obscure people such as Vegeta's father, or playing Bardock, or playing Gerto from oh God, what is his name?
GT.
No, I'm not talking GT. This is still Dragon Ball Z. There was the alien Sentai team that they sicked on Gohan and company, with the leader that could switch bodies with people, and I'm talking about his squat little frog faced guy with the four eyes.
You mean the guy that did the time freeze?
Yes.
Oh, God.
I cannot remember his leader's name, which I should be ashamed of myself. Anyway.
I know there was Raccoon.
That was the white guy. He was the one who actually looked human.
Yeah. Anyways, I found your game. It's Dragon Ball Z Super Budoten.
Budoten. Okay. Games 2 and 3 were of our particular interest because it was done up pretty much Street Fighter style. It was 2D, and
mm-hmm.
you could fight at range, and the screen was, instead of zooming out, they would split the screen.
Right.
So I, along with a handful of others, spent most of our time blasting each other out of the sky because you could do the high-end fireballs. And when you actually got it off, the action would freeze. If you were split screen, the split screen would wipe back to whoever was actually firing. You'd see the aura come up, you'd hear him call the move, and they'd fire it.
The joys of gaming from Japan.
Absolutely. And, oh, it gets better. Your opponent had three choices. Your opponent could take it full, could try to block it, or throw one back. You could have fireball duels.
Hooray!
Fireball duels were the bomb. And this is how much we played it. I had the nickname Goku for most of my time at that store. And my erstwhile opponent was shorter than me and had black hair. So he was the Vegeta to my Goku.
Could have been worse. You had a shorter bald guy, he'd be Krillin.
We actually nicknamed somebody else Krillin because he had that kind of, he was about as lucky in love. We also had a regular customer who ended up being nicknamed Gohan because he actually had the martial arts training, he wasn't very good at it, and he was also still in school.
Uh-huh.
And the best thing in the world to do to him, and I know he's not listening, so I can tell this story. We found out the Japanese word for study. And what we would do is that we would, if we needed to chase him out of the store, we would start yelling that word at him. He would actually twitch. He would actually wince. He would actually argue with us about it. And then we would start saying it, and he would run out of the store.
I think he knew what that word meant.
He was the one who told us. He told us what the word was. That was his fault. He had 2.5 years of Japanese language under him.
I had 1 year of Japanese language, and I failed the course. I'm not kidding.
I can read kana. I can't read kanji very well. My writing would probably get me flunked out of a Japanese class.
Mm.
But I can also pick words here and there because most of my anime habits are with untranslated anime. There's only one. No, there's a couple more, but there's only one series. There's a lot of movies that sound good dubbed, but there's only one anime series that I will watch dubbed.
And that would be?
That would be Chrono Crusade.
Never heard of it.
It's a fairly new anime. The story is bizarre, but it's Japanese. The story is set in the United States in the 1920s. The main character, Grisette, is a very outgoing young woman who works for the Catholic Church. The church she works for, though, is actually a headquarters for a secret organization that is out doing exorcisms because of a huge increase in demonic activity in the world. What makes it fun is, huh?
I see.
Her partner that she ends up meeting early in the series is a character named Chrono, who looks like he's maybe 14. He's got shaggy gray hair and these reddish-brown eyes. They find him curled up next to a closed casket.
Uh-oh.
And they ask what he's doing there, and he said he was mourning. And they said, well, why would you even be here? The conversation continues. He eventually reveals to them that he is a demon. But he has no real powers because he no longer has his horns. The only way he can get power is to siphon it off another creature, and he would have to make a contract with them. The only way he would do that is willingly with another person. And it turns out that Rosette volunteers, much to his chagrin.
Oh, I got it now.
Yeah, which turns out to be a good thing because the whole convolution steers around demons that are trying to infiltrate into society. And one of these demons has recruited Rosette's older brother, Joshua.
I think I'm getting confused by it.
Well, it's very convoluted, but the gist of it is that Rosette, who is essentially a nun, is working with a demon to eradicate the world from evil.
Aha. Now it's still more foggy than I thought. Anyway, that was a great story.
I have the entire manga series translated, but the episodes I've watched dubbed. The company that did the dubbing, and I forget who's actually doing it off the top of my head, went as far as to research 1920s colloquialisms, something you would not get in a Japanese subtitled, you know, Japanese with English subtitles rendition.
Everybody managed to pull it off.
But they did it here in a dubbed version. I was very impressed.
Yes.
But yeah, in any of the other animes that I have, all of my Dragon Ball is subtitled or just flat out untranslated. I have Sorcerer Hunters, another one I'll highly recommend. It spoofs a lot of the D&D style animes that were produced at the time, like Record of Lodoss War.
Hmm.
A bunch of people that are chasing down rogue sorcerers. The problem is the hunting party is a bunch of quirky individuals themselves.
I think that might have got translated here. I'm not quite so sure. Was it called Hunt Elves?
Those Who Hunt Elves?
Yeah.
Okay, I've heard of it.
Yeah, they were quirky. I think that could have been it. I remember when they had Anime Network on here for free on demand, then they decided to charge for it.
Those Who Hunt Elves is definitely a different series from Sorcerer Hunters.
Oh.
But Sorcerer Hunters is the first anime series that I got to show to somebody and actually made him quite literally fall out of his chair laughing.
Right.
And that was pretty hard to do because he was in a recliner. It would take me a while to explain the episode, and seeing it would probably do much more justice to it. And the fact that I actually survived this episode because I know a couple of people online who focus only on the raunchy, adult-oriented and exceptionally bizarre animes.
Like Golden Boy.
Golden Boy, Cream Lemon, Doji. The only anime that I know of that actually was actually censored in Japan. Still with me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They only focus on those and say that's the percent, that's all anime is. And I'm like, no.
No, there are good anime out there. There's the less raunchy stuff, like in Denshi Muyo, then there's the serious ones like in Ronin Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just have the crazy crap like Bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo.
Oh, I won't watch that. What little I've seen of it just hurts my brain.
Yes, the power of the nose hair!
Ah, just
right.
For that. No, I will recommend one to you if you're ever up late and you get Cartoon Network.
I get Cartoon Network.
Watch Shin-Chan. The animation is horrible, but the writing makes up for it. This is what adult cartoons could be in the States. Crayon Shin-Chan, the kid, the lead character, is a little bit younger than Bart Simpson, but is 10 times smarter, 10 times cruder. and about 100 times more dangerous.
So he's more like a South Park kid.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the fact that he has a group of friends, and a lot of the same kind of crap comes up, but it's not lewd for lewdness' sake, which is what South Park is.
Right. I think we really got off. You know what? Forget the wrestling. Let's just talk about this. This is the archive, so we'll just pretty much talk about what the hell we want. Or I could just.
Well, if you want to go back to wrestling, I'll try to segue, but you know, that's a couple of really hard lifts.
How about Age of the Fall? Was that a good anime?
I don't believe that was an anime.
Well, what's our next topic?
Yes, but it could. You're right. That's the hardest write I've ever seen. At least we're back in the neighborhood, right? Okay, I'll give us something to talk about.
Yeah,
Age
of the Fall just.
Go ahead.
Age of the Fall just came out with a new promo. I gave you the link, right?
Did you? Let me look. Not today, but...
No, I gave it to you.
Oh, that's right. We switched computers. I'm going to have to...
No, that's okay. What they did, they ran down this promo. It was Jimmy Jacobs, Tyler Black, who's a great talent. You had Lacey.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't Jimmy Jacobs always going after Lacey? Or was it somebody else?
No, I'm pretty sure it was Lacey.
Okay. And then you have one of the few survivors of the CZW Ring of Honor War, Necro Butcher.
Which I've heard all kinds of crazy stuff about him.
Oh, he's just a lunatic.
A new generation New Jack?
No. He doesn't talk that much. And New Jack talks a lot. I would say he's more like a newer Bruiser Brody.
Okay.
Because he's got the scraggly beard and the scraggly hair. He looks like if Bruiser Brody was starting to bald and lost about 40, 50 pounds.
All right.
They cut this promo, you know, talking about their childhood, and they're talking about the environment, how it's all changing, it's becoming all cookie-cutter homes and Walmarts. The mom and pop, it's just it's lunacy. It's not even worth trying to figure out. However, they did point out this. There's a Toys R Us next to a strip club.
I'm not surprised.
And you know who pointed this one out?
Necro Butcher?
Lacey.
Wow.
Necro Butcher didn't even talk. He let the two guys who talked well, Jimmy Jacobs and Tyler Black, just talk. And he's like, you know, I remember when I was a child, I don't remember being dropped off at the Toys R Us and my daddy going over to the nudie bar. And they just... And somebody stopped by and says, what are you filming? We're filming the desecration of society. Walmarts. And Toys R Us next to strip clubs and stuff like that. This has gotten mixed reviews because it's going almost anything against the original idea of Age of the Fall.
Right.
But I enjoyed it. I also went back and saw what they did originally to the Briscoes.
To who?
Mark and Jay Briscoe.
Ah.
They tied him up. First it was Jimmy Jacobs and Tyler Black, who just came out of the crowd. They came up to him, and then Necro Butcher, with a handful of barbed wire, pounds him from behind.
Ow.
And then Tyler Black does this. Remember, I'm trying to remember, Conan's old finisher.
Tequila Sunrise?
No. I think it was set up to that.
Hmm.
Package, Fisherman Suplex DDT.
Oh, okay.
Black did that, and then they tied up Jay Briscoe by his ankles, lifted him up, and while Jay Briscoe was bleeding, it bled all over Jimmy Jacobs.
Ew.
And they he cut a promo during that time.
Okay, that's just scary.
It gets better. They cut another promo backstage. He's still covered in the blood. And he's got a top hat and Raven S. Kane. It looks like he ripped off Raven's outfit from when he was doing Serotonin.
Mm.
It was just creepy.
Yeah.
So that sets up Age of the Fall versus Briscoes.
Okay.
Briscoes have held the tag titles for a while. I wouldn't mind seeing them drop into Age of the Fall. And it'd be perfect for Jacobs and Black, or Black and Butcher, or Butcher and Jacobs. Either combination will do, because they sort of complement each other's styles.
Mm-hmm.
Because Butcher's a hoss, plain and simple.
Right.
Jacobs is the more flighty guy. It's the more grounded guy, and I think Tyler Black's the more flighty guy.
Okay.
So both of them can complement well.
Yep.
And then you got Lacey, who's a good talker in her own right. Not that bad of a wrestler, per se.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's a good manager, too. Just look how she strung along and with Lacey's Angels.
Right.
I think it's making a great stable. You have two of them as tag team champions, preferably Tyler Black and Necro Butcher to bring both of them into the fold. Then you have Jimmy Jacobs, who's been there a long-ass time, and you finally give him a world title shot against Nigel McGuinness.
Right.
However, I think they got plans for Nigel. I predict by final battle they either give the belt back to the American Drag Queen, or Austin Aries gets the belt.
Okay.
And I'd rather it be Austin Aries.
Does he have his head on straight at least?
He's not Austin Starr anymore.
Regardless.
I think he's got his head on straight.
Okay. Well, speaking of up-and-coming plans, the anniversary special and all the confusion with TNA has blinded us to the fact that there's a pay-per-view this weekend.
Oh, God, Armageddon.
Indeed.
Can we just pass on that one? It's not looking that good.
If I was getting some better signals from the shows, I'd be a little bit more excited. Now, mind you, I put the money down. I'm going to be at this show.
And I sort of feel sorry for you, especially since I'm looking at the spoilers for SmackDown. I hope you don't mind.
No, go ahead. I'll hopefully forget them by Friday.
Okay, let's see. Here we go. Oh, you're going to love this. Edge starts to show off a promo. He brings out Becky, says that she's back as GM. You still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. I'm not just not liking what I just heard.
Edge, Undertaker, and Batista all have matches tonight, and they're announcing this. Batista versus Kane in the Last Man Standing match. Undertaker versus Mark Henry and Big Daddy V in a handicap match. And Edge only takes on Funaki.
And they thought I was joking. Okay.
And as we know, Edge beats Funaki. Teddy Long is forced to raise Edge's arm. So it's looking like, to me, Teddy Long is becoming Vicky's bitch.
Which is sad, because Teddy Long needs to have his show back, and Vicky needs to find another job.
Yes. I hear Taco Bell is hiring.
I was going to be nice.
You're right. I'll be nice. Taco time.
I was going to say Chipotle.
Or Qdoba.
But
do you have one over there?
What was it in Qdoba?
Yeah, Qdoba.
No, that one doesn't sound familiar.
Okay. Let's see here. We have a Divas match that, half good, half crap.
Victoria versus
Michelle McCool, but with, as tag team partners, Layla and Kelly Kelly. Like I said, half good, half crap.
Built on events that happened at the ECW show, where Kelly Kelly was put in a handicap with Victoria and Layla and got her butt kicked, and Michelle McCool came out and made the save.
So there's some continuous to that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, after interference from Kenny that allowed Victoria to score the win with a handful of tights. Afterwards, Chuck flipped out backstage and punched a hole in the wall, scaring Michelle. They're thinking of start of a possible domestic abuse angle here.
Bad call. Very bad call.
I think we might have a good start for WrestleCrap in 2008.
Chuck Palumbo just can't seem to get away from you guys.
Yes,
I was going to go back to the new Blood Thrillers, and Chuck Palumbo is the empty package.
I don't think we got around to that one yet.
Well, shame on you. I mean, his whole, look at me, I'm supposed to be Lex Luger.
Well, they did that with Sean Stasiak, too.
Planet Stasiak overrides anything else that Sean did. Even meat.
The perfect one?
Even meat.
That one got inducted.
Well, I know, but Planet Stasiak needs to be on your... needs to be on your list.
Yeah, but the footage is so hard to come by out of that. I think we might have to use video game footage.
Yeah, I know. It was only for a couple of months.
Anywho, Rey Mysterio defeats Kenny. MVP did commentary, and he's good on commentary. Because MVP, not much of a wrestler, but he knows how to talk.
He's a good wrestler. It's just lately they have had to be very, very careful with him because of his heart condition.
Right, afterwards he attacked Ray with the belt.
Of course.
Batista defeats Kane in the last man standing match with a spinebuster on the announce table. Afterwards, Edge laid out Batista with a chair.
Okay.
So, momentum building for Edge. Batista down in momentum.
All right.
Festus beats Miz. Ugh.
Okay, why wasn't that a dark match? Go on.
Because Kofi Kingston defeats Steve Corino in a dark match.
They need to get Jamaican Carlito on the air. I have seen some of his work in dark matches back in the spring. He's not bad. And I figured they'd view him sooner than later if Carlito hadn't re-upped.
Right.
And I still think Carlito's in a little bit of hot water since he jobbed out Monday night.
Let's see here. Oh, God. Not this. Anything but another match of this. Hornswoggle Kali 3.
So who saved Hornswoggle this time?
Finley comes out, attacks Kali at the shillelagh, Rujin Sting grabs one strike, which distracts Finlay. This enables Great Khali to take out Hornswoggle with a choke bomb. Khali wins.
Okay. Khali has momentum. That makes me feel a little bit better, though I still don't believe Khali deserves to be on pay-per-view, much less on television.
Well, this is taped, so they can fix it.
Well, my other thought is I still think that Khali's best time was when he was a bodyguard for Daivari in ECW.
Sadly. Or even his original SmackDown run. Match against The Undertaker aside. Okay. Undertaker versus Big Daddy V and Mark Henry in a three-way match. Undertaker wins the match after he took close to Mark Henry. What? Mark Henry still got a contract?
Mark Henry actually re-upped for another year or two, which surprised me.
Ugh. After the match, Big Daddy V and Mark Henry beat up Undertaker. Edge comes out and mocks Undertaker, who is down.
More momentum for Edge, but Edge shouldn't be jinxing himself like this because he already gets an automatic advantage under the triple threat rule.
Yes, now it's hard. Who has the least momentum? Batista or Undertaker? Now take into consideration Batista's champ.
Let's see. I'm going to say Undertaker has less momentum because just the fact that he got utterly destroyed. And then he gets taunted.
You know what I'm thinking here? I'm thinking Batista wins, but he pins Edge. And this sets up Undertaker Batista for the next 4 months.
That's a shame. Edge had the advantage per the triple threat rule, meaning minority wins. If Edge could take the belt off of Batista here at Armageddon, we could set up something that he ends up feuding with a couple. He has a one-shot feud at the Rumble. Undertaker finds his way back towards the World Heavyweight title and takes it off of Edge at WrestleMania. But that
would work
best,
too. Or how about this? Edge wins. Batista wins the Rumble. But we have Orton as champ through a screwy finish on a Raw that gives Orton the belt back.
Okay.
Michaels is feuding with Kennedy.
Right.
And at the Rumble, Triple H loses. So, during a promo, Triple H comes out to the ring, calls Orton and says, "You know what? I brought backup, and he's your opponent at WrestleMania."
That would be nice. Now you realize that with the WWE title stored up that way, then the World Heavyweight title will be decided in an Elimination Chamber match, which I think Undertaker could handle himself in. It's just another version of Hell in a Cell, after all.
Yes, however, I want Edge to hold the belt until WrestleMania.
Trust me, I don't want Edge to drop it till Mania. And I want him to drop it to Undertaker.
And then, this would set up something wonderful. Because after WrestleMania, sometime after that, Cena comes back. I think so. Something April, May?
Somewhere in there.
I would not put Cena on Raw. He'd be away for a while, and You know what? And let's put him on SmackDown.
Okay.
Because we need to balance out of the star power.
We do.
And plus, SmackDown is a kiddie show, so to speak. And that'd just be perfect.
You know, him and Ray on the same show. Yeah, I'm good with that.
And then Undertaker wins, Cena comes back, Edge wants another rematch, so we have a triple threat at the Backlash, Undertaker, Edge, Cena. Cena beats Edge for the title.
Inciting a riot. Oh, wait.
No, and then Undertaker and Cena decided to go on a nice little feud until SummerSlam. And I know Undertaker's starting to wear down.
Yes.
And he probably wants to take a break. So at SummerSlam, Undertaker loses to Cena clean.
Okay.
Which is sad, but there you go.
But likely.
Undertaker rests. Who knows, he might even retire. And if Undertaker does retire, that means automatic berth to the Hall of Fame.
Absolutely.
And then, after SummerSlam 2008, we have Batista, who on Raw went through a dramatic character change. Who is now a full-blown heel.
Mm-hmm.
He goes to SmackDown with WWE Championship in tow. And this will start a multi-promotional match. Cena, Batista.
Mm-hmm.
And sometime along that time, the ECW champion gets absolved with the WWE champion.
Right.
I'm also planning for demise because I don't think ECW will last until after 09.
Well, they're definitely in for the haul through 08. It's my understanding that they're doing a little bit of graphical touching up for the transition to HD, and that ECW is going to get their logo reworked, which is a shame. The barbed wire letters should never change.
Right. And then, as I was saying, you would have, since there would only be two shows now, Raw, SmackDown. Have this continue. Royal Rumble winner gets thrown in as a three-way.
Mm-hmm.
And for fun's sake, let's say that since Cena's World Heavyweight Champion, Batista is heavyweight champion, I'm going to throw in a dark horse and say Punk gets in.
All right.
You'll have the three biggest names of Raw, SmackDown, ECW.
Mm-hmm.
And Punk gets him some great offense and looks great at WrestleMania 25.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have Batista as the heel, gets a lot of cheap heat, and does a lot of cheap shots. But I would book Cena as to beat Batista and absolves all the titles into one World WWE Championship. Rehab the undisputed title. Cena would have it. You'd still have your separate titles. Intercontinental United States and both tag team titles. However, rename the SmackDown ones the United States Tag Team titles, but straight on the same plane as the World title, as the World Tag Team titles.
Mm-hmm.
Rename the U.S. title the TV title, and then that's when you bring back the Cruiserweight title right after WrestleMania 25.
sadly, you know it's not going to happen.
But Cena having the title after WrestleMania 25 is a good possibility.
We'll see. I just don't see it happening.
What, Cena holding a title at WrestleMania 25?
No, the title's being unified.
Oh. Make for a great idea, though.
I don't argue about the brand split and title unification anymore, because that's just straight up opinion. I think that the market is wide enough, and with the continued discontent on both sides of the fence, that we're going to start seeing more competition. We're going to start seeing better stuff out of TNA. I really think, I don't know who shot who at WWE, but they've been putting on some damn fine television the last 3-4 weeks.
Yes, unfortunately, the SmackDown looks very lackluster.
So whoever is the genius that, I don't know who, I don't know what they did to the writing staff. But
they went on strike. Ha!
I don't think Vince would hire a union anything if he could help it. But whoever did what to the writing staff, whether it's Jericho sitting in on the meetings or maybe Hunter has backed off a little bit or,
Stephanie's
maybe by some
trap.
I doubt that. But, clearly.
I think we better end it.
I think we should wrap this up since you don't want to talk about Armageddon. I am going, and just a quick pick down the list. I'm going to have to go, this is what is probably going to happen and not what I want to happen.
All right, let me just plug on WWE.com and get the card.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Balls of Fury now on DVD. Something I don't want to watch. MVP versus Rey Mysterio. Rey wins belt.
Sounds like MVP does have the momentum going in. I would not mind seeing Ray taking the belt. I think it'd be kind of cool with him and the MVP fight over it until Matt's close to healthy. MVP wins it back.
Right.
But for now, let Ray hold it.
Women's title match, Mickey James versus Beth Phoenix.
I have nothing to tell me who would work for this. I would like to see Beth retain, personally.
Beth hasn't been on TV for a couple of weeks.
No, she is not. I hope they're working on her promos.
All right. Finlay versus Kali. I think we know who's winning that one.
We've seen where the momentum falls there. I think Finlay pulls it off with help from Hornswoggle.
Michaels versus Kennedy.
I really, really, really want to see Kennedy pull this off.
He won't, though.
But Michaels has momentum.
Right. But so does Kennedy. I think they're even. This one could go either way.
Okay.
Punk and Kane versus Big Daddy V and Mark Henry. Punk and Kane have momentum.
Sadly, Matt Stryker needs to establish his monsters. And this is a really bad thing to be doing to their ECW champion.
No, they could just beat up Kane, and Punk still looks good.
True.
Edge versus Hardy, no question there.
No, because Hardy still has the Intercontinental title.
Right, and that won't work.
And that's not going to help him right now, which is sad.
Then we have Batista, Edge, Undertaker. Like I said, Batista pins Edge.
despite the fact that we, you know, Edge would have had the advantage via the triple threat rule, but he has momentum.
And got Vicky on his side. Okay, and Orton versus Jericho. Sadly, Jericho has all the momentum.
Very sad. And a lot of post-pay-per-view house show cards are saying Randy Orton will be continuing to defend his title. I really, really do not, you know, that is the last thing I needed to hear.
Right.
You know, Jericho's in a horrible position anyway. If he wins, people are going to complain he was rushed, he was hotshotted to the title over other people who have been there.
If and he technically loses, he has.
Yeah. If he loses, the whole Save Us campaign is for nothing.
Right.
And that disappoints me even more because I really think they had something with Jericho. The Save Us campaign got people talking. The Save Us 222 campaign thread on my the website that I go to, the message board that I'm on, was 60-something pages.
The one on WrestleCrap got broken up into 10 separate threads. Because after it reaches 30, it gets cut off and a new one is made.
Ours gets changed. Ours gets split at 1,000 posts. Let me verify that number. The official Save Us 222 thread. Unfortunately, this is the first one. Things are really slow. Okay, the original Save Us 222 thread was 41 pages. That's 1,000 posts. The second part of the thread was another 8 pages. So almost 50 pages of discussion about Save Us. And I got caught up in it. I was very, very excited about it, although I was pretty sure, you know, we were all pretty sure it was Jericho. We were just looking to see where the swerve might be. We were swerved by the fake website that had a countdown to Cyber Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
We had misinterpreted X29. We, you know, the 8-11, everybody thought, okay, that's, you know, they're talking about Michaels. Some of the clips that they showed, some people pointed to Edge's intro. People would get stupid and say, oh, it's, you know, that they make some weird tangential correlation, say, oh my God, you know, what was it? Somebody said D'Lo Brown, somebody said The Big Show, somebody said, you know, Max Moon, you know, it was just get horrible.
Right.
But yeah. And people would get picked on. I got picked on because I was disappointed that Jericho didn't show up at No Mercy because I said, this is Chicago. This is where Jericho would want to come back.
I agree.
And people got pissed when he didn't show up at Cyber Sunday.
I think that wraps it up right here.
Yeah, but it's sad. I wish with everything I had that Jericho would win the title.
Right.
I do. I really, really honestly do. Randy Orton, just stop wrestling and die. Please.
Harsh words.
But none truer spoken.
Right. Well, that does it for the show. Nikki Hayman, Robert Seidelman.
Get some sleep.
Good night.
Good night.
Yeah. Hopefully you enjoyed the DVD.
I will when I get a chance to sit and watch it.
All right.
No.
You like the card?
Yes, I did. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Good night.